Young people, it's kind of been a tradition, but it's a tradition I will never turn away from wherever I'm pastor at, to give the seniors and those graduates Bibles. I have here, it looks like an old wore out Bible. And it's kind of owned by an old wore out person. You get more older and more wore out as the day goes on. This Bible was presented to Gregory Doss by Sims First Baptist Church. Don't fall out, church. It's all right. May 18th, 1980. It was presented at my graduation, in a graduation service, by Ronald Finch, my pastor at that time. Out of all the wonderful things, and y'all have heard this the last 15 years, guess what? You're going to hear it again. Out of all the things that I received, all the clothes, the cards, the money, and they didn't have gift cards back then. Wow. Checks. I don't have any of those things anymore. But I still have the Word of God. And not necessarily say that I use this particular Bible every day, because, like I said, it's kind of wore out. I used it for many years. But I do observe its promises and its principles, because it has carried me up to this point, and I have no doubt it will carry me all the way to glory. And it has a promise in it, not only for me, but for you as well. And I want us to look at that this morning. And as we come to this time of recognizing you today, I want to share what I believe the Lord has truly laid upon our heart. As I look at this group of young people, I kind of enjoy thinking about it, because some of you, I stood right over here or at the other church when you were graduating kindergarten. Y'all were shorter then. Cuter. No, I'm just. But now it's such an awesome privilege to see you moving on and graduating from high school. But as I look across the faces, your faces, I see such potential in each and every one of your lives. But more than that, the Lord God Almighty has tremendous plans for you. And the only way for you to reach the fullest potential, your fullest potential, is to have a close, personal, on-fire relationship with the Lord. The greatest way for you to reach your fullest potential is to follow His leading and His guidance, His direction, staying humble before Him, studying, obeying, and applying His Word. And if you do that, if you'll hold on to the Lord, as His Word says, to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, whatever God calls you to do, you will reach your fullest potential, and God will help you to do that, for that's truly His desire for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has already thought out your future. And true peace and true satisfaction, true joy, comes only as we follow the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives. My go-to scripture is this, my life scripture is this, Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." One thing I have found that God has been faithful. As long as I'm trusting in Him, as long as I'm walking in obedience to Him, as long as I'm following Him, He has already ways directed my path. Sometimes that path gets a little crooked. Sometimes that path goes uphill. Sometimes that path goes over mountains. Sometimes that path goes through dark valleys. But I want to tell you, God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's walked with me all the way through, and He's done that. If He's done that for me, He'll do it for you. Can you say amen? I want us to look at Joshua. And why does Joshua come to my mind, especially in this time? Because Joshua is in a transition phase. Moses was basically, he was not only Moses' assistant, but even though Joshua had another father, his father was named Nun, even though Joshua had another father, Moses was probably the greatest father figure to Joshua that he had ever had. Because he spent so much time with him. Moses had a tremendous impact upon Joshua. He was a spiritual parent to Joshua. He was a spiritual leader to Joshua. He was a spiritual guide to Joshua. But Moses died. Moses is out of the way. And now Joshua is coming into a brand new place, not only new physical land, but he's walking into a brand new place spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally, and again, spiritually. He's about to assume tremendous responsibility. He's about to assume the place that Moses had. He's about to get exactly, if he ever wanted it, you know, because I know sometimes, I remember when I was a senior, boy, if I could just be on my own, I'd do things my own way. Oh, I could do them better. Oh, you'll learn. Mom and dad's going to get a whole lot smarter in just a few years. I promise you, they're going to get a whole lot smarter than all the parents said. Amen. Amen. I believe that the promises God gave to Joshua are available to you and I today as you embark on new territory. Your parents are going to begin to have a less and less authoritative role in your life. You always honor your parents. Always honor your parents. But now you're going to become more independent. You're going to begin to have to take on more responsibility. No longer are you going to be able to rely completely on your parents, but you're going to begin to have to assume that and rely on your own giftings, your own talents, and your own responsibility. But the same promises that God made to Joshua, I believe, are available for you and I today. I want us to look at number one. Joshua had an awesome relationship with God. This is Pentecost Sunday. Joshua was also filled full of the Spirit of God. Joshua had been a faithful servant of Moses. Joshua's relationship, though, was not in a man. Joshua's relationship with God was not in a man, but it was in his personal relationship with God. In fact, Exodus chapter 33, I love this verse because it says this. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. When Moses would go out and meet with the Lord, Joshua was with him. But when Moses would leave the tabernacle, when he would go back into the camp, Joshua would stay. And it was not so he could say, well, I'm at church. No, he wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. He wanted to spend more time in God's presence. He wanted to spend more time in his relationship with God. The greatest relationship, young people and older folks alike, the greatest relationship we can have is our relationship with God. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you, have a close, personal relationship with God. Joshua's relationship with God is what allowed him the ability to head to a new territory. His relationship with God was what allowed him the ability to overcome anything and everything that the world and the enemy and that new territory threw his way. It was Joshua that made the statement, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods that our enemies served on the other side of the river, or we're going to serve God who our fathers and our forefathers served. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Young people, I want you to make up your mind. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Many of you have already, but whom you're going to serve with all your heart, your soul, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just trying to pour everything we can into you. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Don't allow the world to distract you and dissuade you from serving the Lord. Can you say amen? Moses was gone. Joshua had to step up to the plate and begin on to take on that greater responsibility. Again, the Lord told him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am going to give them. In other words, Moses is out of the picture. You can't rely on Moses. You can't get on his coattail. You're going to have to do this yourself, can you say amen? You're going to have to step up to the plate yourself. Young people, I want to encourage you. You are coming to the place where you are becoming on your own. It's time that you begin to step up to the plate and take on greater responsibility. The decisions you make over the next few years can and will set a course for the rest of your life. And it will impact you as well as others you come in contact with. This is such a crucial time. It's such a critical time. But I'm going to say that again. The decisions you make over the next few years can and will set a course for the rest of your life and will impact you and others. But if you'll follow God's path, whatever that path may be, He will help you be the best that you can be. Can you say amen? The second thing about Joshua is God had already lined out his territory. God had already lined out his territory. Look with me in verse 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. In other words, God said, before you've already got there, I've already given you that spot. I've already prepared that for you. He says, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. God had already mapped out the way to get there. He had already mapped out for Joshua how to go about it. He had already mapped out the borders of his new territory. Can I tell you, your life is the same way. If you walk in obedience to the Lord, he has already mapped out your new territory. He's already mapped out your path. He's already mapped out your future. Psalms 139, I love this verse. 139 verse 16. Says the psalmist says, your eye saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all were written. Listen to this. The days were fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Before I even got here, the Lord had already mapped out my journey. And the thing about it, true joy, true peace comes as we follow God's path and God's promises. He's already given you, as we saw in Jeremiah 29:11, a future and a hope. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's prepared them beforehand. Psalm 16 verse 5, O Lord, you are the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I've talked to people before and they says, well, what if I don't like God's purposes and God's plans that he's got for my life? Well, friends, you're not following the right God. Because one thing that God has done, because he knows you and I better than we know ourselves. Can you say amen? He knows you and I adults better than we know ourselves. And if we follow God's purpose, if we follow God's plan, they're not always going to be easy. There's going to be trouble along the way. There's going to be trials. But if we are in the center of God's will for our lives, that is the place of our greatest joy. That is the place of our greatest contentment. That is the place of our greatest peace as we follow after the things of the Lord. Whatever that may be for you. When you open your shop, I'm going to come see you. I said, give me a shampoo and cut, Chloe. Amen. Hello. Whatever you desire to do, God has gifted you with talents and abilities. And he knows how to bring those things to pass. He knows how to make everything fall in place. It didn't say there's not going to be some challenges, but God has already prepared those things beforehand. Before you were ever born. Don't want to take up a lot of time. I've got an older brother that's 7 years older than I am. And when my dad found out that my mother was pregnant with him, he was working for Shell Pipeline. He was on top of a tanker. It's a big oil tank. And he was up there praying. One day he said, out of the blue, the Lord spoke to him. He says, Herschel, you're going to have a son that's going to be a preacher. He said, he's going to preach my word. And you've got to encourage him. Before my brother was ever born. Well, my brother grew up and dad kind of forgot about all that. My sister came along. She's 5 years older. And then bless their heart, I came along. Mama told me one time that there I'd been the first one, there probably wouldn't have been no others. But God told my dad 7 years before I ever showed up that he was going to have a son that was going to be a minister. That didn't when I sat where you sat 40 years ago, wow, that's a long time. I had no intention, no desire. No thought. But that was Greg's desire. But what God's desire was this. When I began to line up with his path, that's where he led me. And for the last 25 years, that's where we've been. Doing what God had told my dad before I had ever showed up. God has your path and your whatever that may be. It may not be ministry. It may be something else. It may be cutting hair. It may be whatever. Might be being that scientist, figuring out all the cures for all those things. Whatever those things are, follow what God leads you to do. Can you say amen? I want us to look at this awesome promise. Let me move on. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. No one can stand in your way. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, if God is your biggest advocate, God is your biggest ally, God is your biggest supporter, God is your biggest cheerleader. Moms and dads are supporting, but we can't even as moms and dads come close to what God has for you and how much he wants to do for you. Can you say amen? No one can stand in your way. He says, as I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. The same thing goes with us. The Bible tells us in James 4, verse 8, says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Then he gives him an awesome promise. He says, I will be with you, I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. He says the same thing in verse 9. He said, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Brother Kip and the praise and worship team led us and said basically those same things. I believe God is trying to get us a message this morning that God is with you no matter where you're going to be, no matter what comes along. Can you say amen? No matter what comes or goes, as long as God is with you, you can make it. As long as God is with you, you can make it. He says, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. And there's a New Testament promise that goes along with that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If he said, I will never leave you or forsake you in the Old Testament, if he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you in the New Testament, guess what? In 2018, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He means that he will still never leave you or never forsake you. He will be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Can you say amen? People will let us down. Friends and loved ones, family will let us down. But I stand as a promise to this. God will never, ever, 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 never, ever let you down. Because he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. What an awesome promise, as long as we hold close to them. God commanded something about Joshua. God commanded him to be strong and of good courage. There's a thing called rote learning that teachers repeat things to help us get the message. And that's what God is doing. Three times in this passage, God encouraged Joshua to be strong and of good courage. The first time in verse 6 is when he was going in to possess the territory. He says, be strong, not in your own strength, but be strong and of good courage. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Young people, there are going to be obstacles. There's going to be battles to fight. There will be problems to solve. As you go into your new territory, I wish I could say, man, the world's going to roll you out a red carpet and it's going to be easy peasy. You're just going to be able to do all you accomplish, but there are going to be problems. There are going to be struggles. There's going to be difficulties as you're possessing the new territory that God has already lined out for you. But guess what? If you'll just hold on to God, he says, be strong and of good courage. Don't let fear rob you of your faith, and you will possess the territory that God has laid out for you. Can you say amen? The second time he tells him to be strong in verse 7. Verse 7 is this, says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law, all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. In other words, be strong in the word of God. Not just reading it, but applying it to your life. Make it a way of life that you can live by. Psalms 119, all 157 verses deals basically with the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 89 says this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Verse 105 and 106 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Psalms 119, verse 10 and 11. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. Church, young people, I would love to be able to hand you $1,000 or $10,000 to help you on your dream. But that's not going to help you as much as what you've been handed today. Of all the things I can give you, is what has blessed me and helped me more is the word of God, because it is spirit and it is life. It will lead you. It will guide you. It will. Y'all feel like, boy, I wish he'd quit hollering at us. But it will lead you. It will guide you. It will direct you. It will help you. It will be that comfort when you have a heavy heart. It will be that guide when you need answers. It is spirit and it is life. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but he says, my word shall never pass away. I can stand on this one. I can't stand on anything else. I can stand on the word of God. Be strong and courageous, because if you're going to live by this word in your business dealings, in your school, if you're going to take a stand, if you're going to take a stand for this word, guess what? The world is really not, really doesn't care for this word. And you're going to face opposition. But just stand for God. Stand for his word. Be strong and courageous as you live out the word. And the Bible always, always promises, as we obey and walk in obedience to his word, there is a tremendous blessing and a tremendous promise. He says, I will be with you. He says, when you obey this word, when you apply this word, when you're strong and courageous in this word, you will be prosperous. I love this scripture, and I love this when it talks about seniors or those who are moving on in their transition in their life. Because this is a guarantee, a God-given guarantee, how to have good success and how to prosper in this world we're living in today. And it all has to deal with how we handle the word of God. Can you say amen? God gives us an awesome promise for obeying his word completely. In verse 7, it says, you will prosper. That means you will do wisely wherever you go. In verse 8, he says the same thing. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And it all comes with as we follow and obey and walk in this book. You shall have good success. Can you say those two words with me? Good success. How many of you want good success? Parents, loved ones, how many of us want good success? Come on. You will have the understanding to accomplish God's purpose in your life and reach your full potential. God has given you a fail-proof remedy for prospering and being successful, and it all has to do with it walking in obedience to his word. He says, as you do that, you will have prosper. You will prosper, and you will have good success. That word prosper means to advance, to prosper, to make progress. I love Pastor. I get tickled because there's a lot of folks that they'll call Miss Lisa and say, ask Pastor if he'll give me a job reference. And I do not mind to do that. Don't you think I mind to do that? I don't. If I know the person. If I know the person well. And many of you people have done the same thing. They want to use your name as a reference. But there are some folks that times I barely know, have only met one on one or two occasions. They'll call and, can I use your name as a job reference? I don't know them. I don't know them well. It's kind of hard to really say, well, you want to make good, you want to make everybody feel good. No, I'm not here to make everybody feel good. I'm here to do what's right. But what people are wanting to do, and it's not a problem, I've done the same thing, is they're wanting to use somebody else's good name and good reputation to back up their position. And I'm honored that folks want to do that. And many of you people have done the same thing. But here's what you need to do. The scripture says God will open a door that no man can shut. And he will shut doors that no man can open. You don't need the reference of a pastor. You don't need the reference of anybody else. All you need to do is make sure you've got a good reputation and that you're doing that which pleases him, that which is honoring him, and God will open doors for you that no one can open, and he will shut doors for you that you don't need to go through because he's trying to help you stay on the path. Can you say amen? Now, don't think that, well, Pastor, if I need a reference, you're not going to give me a reference. I'll give you a reference. I know most of you. Amen. But the greatest reference you can get is being in that right relationship with God. Can you say amen? Because he's given you a promise that you can have good success. Can you say amen? The next area that he promised good success. Are y'all still with me this morning? Verse 9. He says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong when the struggles of life come. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed." That word dismayed means to be broken down, discouraged, to fall to pieces. Why? Because he's with you wherever you're at. If you never leave Ozark, or if you go to the other side of the globe, the trials and the struggles will come, even for those who are in right relationship with God. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be problems. There's going to be hard situations that you will have to go through. But if you'll hold on to him, you won't have to go through them alone. Can you say amen? Because you will be able to go through them with the Lord's help. Joshua had cities to conquer. He had battles to fight. He had enemies to overcome. He had giants to deal with. He had some problems even in the camp he had to deal with. But he kept his eyes on the Lord, and God allowed him to possess the land, to possess his territory. Can you say amen? I want to tell you this morning, young people, you're going to face some difficulties and hardships along the way. But as long as you're holding on to Jesus, he's going to lead you through each and every one of them. There's nothing that you are going to face that he doesn't know how to handle already. Can you say amen? Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like to kind of modify that a little bit. I can face all things. I can go through all things. I can handle all things. Not in Greg's strength, but through his strength. The word says his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Young people, young men and women, as you embark in your new territory, keep God always number one in your life. Keep God always number one in your life. Number two, remember that he has a plan for your life. Find out what that plan is. Walk in that plan. Walk in that purpose. Number three, he has promised if you walk in obedience, he will not fail or forsake you. In fact, the scripture declares, if my mother and my father, even if my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He's a good, good father. Number four, hold on to the word of God. Live by the word of God. Let this word be your lifestyle. Have a daily devotion time, but not only a daily devotion time. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Get it in your heart and in your life and in your spirit. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Number five, be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. And number six, God will be with you wherever you go. Number seven, I, as your pastor, Pastor Scotty, Pastor Matt, we love you. We're going to be praying for you. You've got a church family that loves you. It's going to be praying for you as well. God is going to do and accomplish awesome things in your life. He's already got them mapped out. And I just can't wait to see what he's going to do. I want to ask y'all to do something. I want to ask you to, I know we did this at the senior banquet, but I want to ask you just come and face this, just kind of spread out right here, face this direction, leave a little space right here. Just face this direction, kind of spread out, just kind of even out, and just face this direction.